We are glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
We launched into this sermon series about my life as a vampire. And if you weren't here last week, you need to catch up that first week's sermon. And you can actually watch that online. Here in a minute, Joe will throw the address where you can do that up on the screen. But a little bit of what you missed is we just kind of describe what life is like as a vampire. And I think I'm going to call this sermon today Vampire-Free Living. Vampire-Free Living. Just by way of review, very quickly, to be a vampire means a never-ending, futile existence where you're attempting to satiate an appetite that never dies and is never satisfied. That's kind of what a vampire is. He can't get away from this appetite. And we looked at that. Actually, the scripture talks about that. We looked at that last week. And it's having no life inside. And so you're reduced to draining life from external sources. And a lot of times those external sources are other people. We wind up draining life out of other people when we're vampires. But the big thing to remember is the vampire, he's devoid of life inside, so he can only exist by feeding somewhere else. Okay? And last week we read where the Bible describes these people as these are people that have made their appetite their God. And their God is demanding and is voracious and is never satisfied. Here's something else we know about vampires. Vampires make other vampires. When they contact, whatever they contact, they either destroy it or they make it like them. And they drag others into this hellish darkness of their existence. So basically you have a ceaseless struggle against a dark appetite. You have existence among the tombs and the ghost of the life you wanted. You're tainting and using and destroying all you come in contact with. That's kind of life as a vampire. And it is this ghoulish, hellish existence that Jesus Christ came to put an end to. That's right. The Bible, he said in John 10:10, I have come that you might have life and that life be of an abundant nature. In 1 John 4:9 says this, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him, not just exist, but actually live. Existence is killing time until you get to feed again. That's what a vampire does. They live from feeding to feeding. Life is internal and it's always there. And when you're a vampire, you drain from other people. But when life is on the inside, it flows out to everyone around you. Existence means doing whatever you have to do at whatever cost to get what you need. Life flows effortlessly from the inside out. Existence means never really enjoying anything, because no matter how good the moment is, it will soon be over and you're going to be hungry again and you're going to have to feed again. That's where addiction comes from. Life is feeling satisfied and at rest and at peace. And if it's been a long time since you've been at rest and at peace and satisfied, you just might be living life as a vampire. Existence is from one feeding to the next, but life flows in you all the time. And the God that created you and loves you wants you to have life so much that he made the entire focus of his story about bringing life to you. But the world around you wants to turn you into a vampire and keep you as a vampire. That's why the entire orientation of our culture is towards consumption. To not live as a vampire may be the most counterculture, rebellious, defiant act you can take. To live your life not ruled by your appetite, not perpetually on the hunt, not suspended between feedings, is to live outside of what has become the cultural norm. So the question becomes, how do I escape this? How do I escape this vampire existence? Rather, how do I move from existence to life? Well, there's a little process here, and this is kind of how it works. The first thing you have to do is understand this. If you're going to have vampire-free living, you have to be willing to kill what cannot be controlled. You got to be willing to put to death the things that cannot be controlled. Last week we talked about the demoniac from Gadara that's found in Matthew 5. And the scripture is very clear that the demons inside of him could not, Robert, be controlled. No matter how many efforts they made or how ingenious the efforts were, they could not be controlled. And too many people live their lives trying to control things inside themselves that can never be controlled long term. At some point, that thing's going to get too hungry, it's going to get too restless, it's going to break loose, and it's going to wreak havoc all over again. The anger is going to erupt. The lust is going to explode. The greed is going to boil over. That craving is going to become undeniable. That emotional need that you have is going to become too overwhelming. And before they realize it, they are feeding again. Here's what happens afterwards. They're filled with remorse and they vow to never do it again. They cage the beast and deny that it exists, but the hunger's always there. These people consider victory the periods of time that they're able to, by force of will, deny their appetite. They have adopted what Dallas Willard calls the gospel of sin management. We don't actually conquer sin, we just manage it as best we can. We're attempting to control a fallen nature instead of seeing it redeemed. Jesus did not come with a promise that your old destructive self could be controlled. He brings a promise that your old fallen vampire self can be redeemed into the man or woman that God purposed you to be at the very beginning. It's not about controlling your appetite. It's about having it reborn into a heart that desires God and righteousness and peace and joy. The Bible says this, 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the Christ love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them. That's Jesus Christ and was raised again. Watch this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new is the gospel all right to preach to you today? Or do you need something a little more clever? If any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are gone. Everything is new. You're not an old creature being controlled. You're a brand new being in the form and shape and likeness of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the gospel of Jesus. The gospel of Jesus is not about controlling your darker self. It's about the death of your darker self and the new birth of who you can be in Jesus Christ. Before you can fully embrace the gospel of Christ, you have to come to an understanding that that old fallen vampire can never be controlled. He has to be killed. Ephesians 4:17, the apostle wrote this, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, you must no longer live as Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, watch this, they give themselves over to sensuality so that they indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. That's vampire. That's a perfect description of vampire life. No matter how much you feed, you're still hungry for more. And you can't get enough no matter how much you engorge yourself. You, however, the Bible says, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life, that old vampire life, this is what you were taught. Put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new. Can I get some help in here today? You're to put off that old man. You are to shrug it off like you would a dirty garment and be done with it, with all of its desires, and be made new in the attitude of your minds, and put on your new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. That's what you're supposed to do. You discard that old man. You put him to death, and you put on the new identity given to you in Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:1. Going to be a lot of scripture here today. Is that all right? Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. and set your mind on these things above, not on earthly things. Watch this. For you died, and your life is now hidden in Christ, with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, your vampire nature. You put it to death. Immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. That's all vampire nature stuff. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of its creator. Is this too complicated? You take the old vampire life, you put it away. Pastor, I don't know how to do that. Don't do it. I don't know how. Don't do it. Again, it's amazing what we can and cannot do when it really gets down to it. I just can't stop. I bet you could. Bet you could for the right motivation. Doctor looked at me and said, you're 300 pounds and you're barely 30 years old. You're going to die. I quit eating. You can do it. You put it off. There's a word for this killing of the vampire nature that takes place, this act of putting off your old life. I'm going to preach the gospel in here today. Come back next week. It'll be really clever and cool and hip, and we'll learn all kinds of nifty stuff. But I'm going to preach the gospel to you today. There's a word for this act of putting off your old life, your old self, your old way of being. You know what that word is? Repent. Repent. Repentance is not an expression of remorse. It's a pledge, an act of your will to turn away from one way of being and step into another. It is an act of turning from one path and getting on another path. Repentance is putting the vampire to death by turning away from the vampire life and saying, I'm not going to live that way anymore. I will not do it. Acts 3:19, this is what the apostle preached. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Then the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. You want to end that old vampire life where you're always hungry and never satisfied and you exist from one feed? You get a little thrill when you can make a purchase, but then you're not thrilled anymore. And you're a little thrilled when you get one conquest, but then you're not thrilled anymore. You want to be satisfied and at rest and at peace. I'll tell you, the first step toward getting there is kill that old man. And the way you do it is you repent. You make a decision before God that I'm not living that way anymore. Of course, how many of you here, tell the truth, you're in God's house, you've watched a vampire movie? Okay, if you haven't, you ought to. They're not as good as zombie movies, but they're okay. Zombie movies are not really entertainment, they're edutainment. Well, they are. We all know this whole thing's going to end in a zombie apocalypse. Hey, the CDC put out a comic book this week on how to survive a zombie apocalypse. So, I mean, if the government said it. So, if you've ever watched a vampire movie, you know what kills the vampire, right? You drag them out into the light. That's how you destroy them. Come on, you've seen this. The vampire gets caught in the sunlight, and he's like, oh, and he disintegrates. That's how you kill him, right? Repentance means making a decision to move from darkness into light. Let me simplify your world for you, okay? There's not 17 options out there. There's the kingdom of darkness. There's the kingdom of light. You want the symbol. I know there's spiritual, you know, warfare gurus that'll take you on a 17-day retreat and teach you all about the different strata of spiritual warfare and all that weird stuff. You just listen to me. There's the kingdom of darkness. There's the kingdom of light. That's the two camps that are out there. Repentance means I'm not going to be in the kingdom of darkness anymore. I will step into the light of Jesus Christ. That's what it was. The entire purpose of Christ was to help you, to empower you, to enable you to move from darkness to light. And the moment you do that, light destroys that dark creature that you were. And it takes a lot of guts to drag the vampire out of his dark little crypt into the light, because destruction is painful and revelation of what you are and have been can be humiliating and can bring shame. But bringing that thing into the light is the only way to ultimately destroy it. You want to kill what cannot be controlled? You got to bring it into the light of Jesus Christ. This is what the Bible says about the life of Christ. Matthew 4:16, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. You do not have to live that way. There's darkness and there's light, and you can step from darkness into light. God will help you. The whole purpose, according to the apostle in Acts 26:18, of the ministry of Jesus Christ, watch this, was this right here: to open your eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith. That's why he came, is to help you move from darkness into light. Colossians 1, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us just to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. I'm about to preach myself happy in here. God came to deliver you from the power of darkness. That's why Jesus Christ came. That's why he was incarnate. That's why he robed himself in flesh. That's why he died for your sin, is to deliver you from the power of darkness. Watch this, and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. There's darkness and there's light, and God put all his power behind moving you from one kingdom to the other. John 1:4, in Jesus was life, and that life was the light of men. You want to quit existing like a vampire? Start living the life God purposed for you? You got to drag that vampire thing inside of you into the light. It's a simple act of exposure. In Matthew 12, Jesus comes into the temple. Actually, his enemies were kind of messing with him. They said, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Because they knew in the synagogue that day there was a guy, the Bible says, had a withered hand. There's something interesting that happens here. Jesus looks at the guy and he said, show me your hand. The guy has two hands. Only one of them's all jacked up. The other one's fine. Jesus says, show me your hand. The guy has a choice. I can show him my good hand, or I can pull this old withered, shameful. I have a child that has deformities. I know how people treat it. They mock it and they make fun of it and they point it out. And there's no doubt this guy had suffered his share of looks and stares, and this is not the thing we really want to hold out in a public forum when everybody's focused on it. And Jesus doesn't say, show me your withered hand. He didn't say, hey, let's slip over here in a back room and let's deal with that hand. He just, in the middle of the synagogue, he says, show me your hand, and the guy's got a choice. I can hold out my good hand, or I can pull out this ugly, deformed thing. But here's the deal. What gets revealed is what winds up getting healed. And if you want something healed in your life, you have to be willing to bring it into the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it may be hard just to articulate that it exists. It may be hard to even say that it's there. But if you can ever bring yourself to say, okay, Jesus, it's ugly and it's twisted and it's deformed and I wish I didn't have it, but here it is. The moment you bring it out, here's that whatever is hidden tends to thrive in that darkness, but you bring it into the light and all of a sudden that affliction will start to fall off. Can I make somebody some promise in the Holy Ghost today? If you will reveal your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't care what dark desires are there. I don't care what dark addictions are there. I don't care what nasty little habits that you wish nobody knew about were there. I don't care what dark secrets are in there. If you will expose it to the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, there will be healing and there will be deliverance and there will be restoration and you will be made whole in His presence. God purposed Himself to translate you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. When you repent, you put off that old man. When you turn away from the darkness, when you reveal what is withered and broken to Jesus, a death occurs. The death of the vampire that cannot abide the light. But don't stop there at that death of repentance. You need to bury that old creature and not carry the carcass of it with you any longer. Romans 6:4 says, "We are therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." You want to end your vampire life? Repent. Drag that thing into the light. Put it off you. Be baptized. Bury that old carcass. But I want to give you a caution. The commandment in Scripture is not for us to simply come out of the darkness into the light. But the Bible says we are to abide in Christ, who is the light. You've got to abide in Him. The Bible says we are to walk in the light. Some of you listening to me right now, you put the vampire to death. You sincerely repented and you buried him. But now you find that old hunger stronger than ever. You don't have to say amen. I know I'm telling the truth. And maybe you're even coming to the conclusion that the gospel really doesn't work because I repented and I put it to death. But for a moment, let's just go back to that reference in Colossians. It says He has delivered us from the power of darkness. There's a power in the darkness, and if you do not abide in the light, if you don't walk in the light, but wander back in the shadows, there's an incredible danger that's lurking there. See, there's a kingdom of daylight and there's a kingdom of night. And in this lifetime, there's always a remnant of that old vampire life, and it kind of works like this. When the sun comes up, the rooster crows and the hens start scratching, wanting out of their coop, and the cattle push against the gates. They want to go to pasture. There's a daytime kingdom, and the inhabitants of that kingdom are peaceful and gentle. And that rising sun summons them, and they know it's now free for us to go and wander the pastures and scratch in the barnyard and be free. But the rising sun also has another effect. There's a kingdom of the night, and the inhabitant of the kingdom of the night are wolves and coyotes and owls and foxes and carrion eaters and hunters. The rising sun always drives them into their den and into their cave. And they will sleep waiting for the nighttime when they can hunt again. They fear and hate the light because they're exposed and revealed by it. They love the darkness. The gentle creatures of the kingdom of light love the day because in it they're safe and secure. But when that sun starts to sink down, that cow will get her calf and she'll head back to that barn. She wants someone to come and lock her in. The hens will chase down their chicks and they will go back to roost because they know the night is coming and they know what comes with it. They know that there's power in the darkness. Now listen to me carefully. When you step into the light of Jesus Christ, that vampire is driven out of your life. That vampire existence ceases to be your reality. But in this life, it's always lurking out there in the dark. And if you step out of the light, back into the shadows or back into the dark, the reason so many struggle so much is because they don't walk in the light. They come out into the light occasionally, but then go back into their dark existence, not understanding that old wolf is holed up in his den, just waiting for the cover of darkness. And that old vampire nature is just waiting for you to step back into the shadows to reclaim its territory again. That old nature is hiding for the light, just waiting for momentary darkness. And when you do not walk in the light, when you do not abide in Christ, you're giving place to the darkness. That's why you're still struggling with that old nature. It's not because the gospel is not efficacious. It's because you don't walk in the light. You come into the light. This is where we've come in Christianity in America. We come into the light long enough to feel the vampire slip away and we feel better, and then we go right back into the darkness and wonder why I can't get victory over all these things. You got to walk in the light. You have to abide in Christ. Is that too harsh? You got to be in the Word of God. You got to be on your knees before God. You got to be in the fellowship of His saints on a regular basis. I want you to understand something. Inside Kevin Burgess is a murderer. Inside Kevin Burgess is a liar and a cheater and a violent man. Inside me are all those dark things. Do you know what keeps them at bay? It's not my iron will. I'm not that tough. The only thing that keeps them in their den, Jacqueline, is if I walk in the light. But Marshall, if I ever step out into the darkness, it's all waiting there. Do you know why heaven is so glorious, Chris? It's not because there's streets of gold and gates of pearls and angelic choirs and mansions. There's one reason alone it's so glorious, is because the Bible says there will never be a night there. For Jesus is the light of that city, and He shines all the time. And there's coming a moment, Joe, that I'm going to step into the eternal light of Jesus Christ, and that old vampire can never be resurrected again, because there's no night there and there's no darkness there. There's no shadow there. The Bible says in Christ is light, and in Him there is no shadow and darkness at all. You want to kill a vampire in your life, you need to start walking in the light every day. You need to be in Jesus Christ every day. We preach a lot about Jesus in you. You need to be in Jesus. You need to be in His Word. You need to be in His presence. You need to be in His house. You need to be in His family. You need to be in Jesus every chance you get. You need to walk in the light. You want a vampire-free life? Walk in the light. As He is in the light. Kill what cannot be controlled by repenting. You drag that dark thing into the light. You walk in the light. You're on your way to a vampire-free life that's not ruled by appetite. But there's a final step to a vampire-free life. See, vampires are empty on the inside, so they're perpetually feeding. I'm not going to re-preach last week's sermon, but boy, this is where we're at as a culture. They are perpetually feeding. Always hungry. I've been a little amazed. We are ostensibly and allegedly in the worst recession of my lifetime. And if giving around here's any indication, that's accurate. And if you think I'm joking, I'm not. But we can't build stores fast enough. Have you noticed this? Anybody been out to Fairview lately? It's about 1,000 acres of pure shopping. We can't stop building bigger and bigger houses. Try getting in a restaurant of any kind anywhere close to a mealtime. You go to a bad movie, and if you don't get there half hour early, you got to fight for a seat and sit down front where you got to look like this. Those are like the bad movies, like the Nicolas Cage movies. We can't feed fast enough. We just can't feed fast enough. Well, since you're going to be quiet, we'll just get real awkward. Number of sexual partners the average American adult has had has increased by 60% over the last 20 years. I thought all the crazy stuff happened back in the 60s. We can't feed fast enough. We're going in debt at a greater rate than ever, even while we know what it's doing to us, but we're not going to stop. Can't feed fast enough. Why are we we doing this? Because we're a little culture of vampires. We're empty on the inside. You want to live vampire free? First of all, you kill what cannot be controlled by repenting. I don't care what it is, repent of it. If it's your family spending and it's out of control, repent of it. If it's your thought life that's out of control, repent of it. Drag it into the light. Confess it to Jesus Christ. You don't have to confess it to me. I would prefer you didn't. If you need to confess it to somebody, I'll find an elder for you to confess it to. I already know more than I want to know in a lifetime. But confess it. Drag it into the light. And then walk in the light. I'm begging you. I'm begging you. Quit being a casual Christian that drifts close to Jesus whenever you really feel like crap, and then as soon as you feel better, you're gone again. Quit doing that. Walk in the light. But then there's a final thing you need to do if you want a vampire-free life, and it's this. You got to start living from the inside out, not the outside in. Too many of us are getting our life by what we're taking in, not by what's already inside of us. The Bible says this, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink and clothing. It's not external stuff. It is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You need life on the inside of you. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Not so you can have some weird spiritual experience, but so that there's life in you, so you're not hungry, so you're not having to buy stuff and get stuff and take stuff and do stuff to feel like you're really alive. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost so that life is flowing from the inside of you out, and you're not draining the world around you. You're actually a source of life for your family and for your church and for your workplace and for your school and for everything that matters and for this God-forsaken culture we're part of. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You need to start living life from the inside out. Jesus said this. What is an amazing statement. I wish you guys would get a little more rowdy today, because I'm tempted to just get all off on a tangent. I don't want to do that. I want to get out here in time, go meet my buddies and watch the Rangers lose. Jesus made a fascinating statement. Because there's a whole generation of Christians out there, Pastor, I'm just not getting fed. I'm just not getting fed. I go to church, but I don't get fed. First of all, I'll tell you what my old mom used to tell me. I'd come home and I'd say, Mom, I'm hungry. She said, well, there's leftovers in the refrigerator. Heat it up. I looked and I said, I don't like that. She said, well, you're not very hungry then. You get hungry now. She still says that. Yeah, she came down to take care of us a little bit while Leland was in the hospital. Whew, I was almost hospitalized before that was over. But I love my mom, in case she ever sees this online. I keep forgetting. All this stuff's getting broadcast now. It's just wearing me out. I'm a nervous wreck. Love you, Mom. I'm just not getting fed. I don't feel fed. It's because you live life from the outside in. And the only thing that feeds you is what you ingest. Listen to me. Jesus, I preached last week about the little vampire he met at Jacob's well. He should have been here. He meets her. The disciples had left him to go into town to get food. Okay, they're going in town and we're going to go get food. They leave him there. He spends his time ministering to this woman whose life was a wreck. And when he finishes, they come back and they said, Master, we have meat. Eat. He said, I've already eaten. They said, where did you get food? And he said, my meat or my food is to do the will of my Father. He said, you know what feeds me? It's doing what God asked me to do. Do you know why some of you never feel fed? Why there's a whole generation of Christians that wander from church to church to church going, I'm just not getting fed. I'm not getting fed. Is because they sit there waiting for somebody to come along and externally put something in them. Do you know what will make you feel fed in Jesus Christ? Is if you start doing what God commissioned you to do in the kingdom of God. And all of a sudden you'll quit feeling weak. You'll quit feeling malnourished. You'll quit feeling hungry all the time. The more you do the work of your Father, the more fed you're going to feel. So if you want to live vampire-free, here's how it works. The first thing you got to do is kill what can't be controlled by repenting of it. Drag it into the light of Jesus Christ, and then bury that thing if you haven't done so yet. Then walk in the light, and then start living from the inside out. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. That's how you live a vampire-free life. And I have preached to some of you today, as surely as you and Jesus Christ sat down across the street at Starbucks and it was just the two of you talking. So now we're going to respond to the Word of God. Boy, this is a little different today, isn't it? Some of you got a little appetite cranking. It's going to devour you if you don't kill it. Some of you only get your charge externally. There's just nothing on the inside. That's not what God wants for you. Would you bow your heads, Father, right now? You said we would know the truth. The truth would make us free. Truth is not a construct and it's not an idea. Truth is Jesus Christ, the ultimate summation of truth. And as passionately as he's ever spoken, I feel like Jesus has spoken to us today, called us out of darkness, where all of our darker selves thrive, and into light, where we're free to become all that you purposed us to become. And we want to live free. Free from appetites and forces that drive us. You're the good shepherd. You lead us. Don't drive us. So if something's driving us, it's not you. And Father, sitting in this house today are driven people. Driven by fear. Driven by ego. Driven by insecurity. Driven by desire that is not from you. You lead, you never drive.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at www.redemption-church.com and be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.